Chema. So today we'll have a shorter Bhagavad Puran because we have another something which those who want to remain connected can remain connected, because the second one is about Shobindo's birthday. We'll be recording something. So the Bhagavad Puran, we have reached at a very interesting juncture. So as we know that last time we read about Trinavrat, Putana and all kinds of asuras which started tormenting those who were in Gokul, and then Shri Krishna's exploits where he starts, you know, taking away the butter and distributing it to others. Our original sense of divine communism, that's how I put it, or divine socialism, you want to put it like that. India has its own version and its own understanding of things. So today the story that we are going to read relates to, paradoxically, strangely, the events that are taking place recently. For example, somebody recently wrote, and people have created a divide between the rich and the poor. And so you see that revolution flows from the barrel of the gun and people should fight and snatch and whatever they do, both in capitalism and communism. Ultimately it boils down to money, whether there is an unequal or an equal distribution. But in Indian thought, it is seen very differently, and that's the story that we are going to share today, and it's the story of the famous story we have all read, but just go a little deeper into it. That because Shri Krishna is running away from his house, entering everybody's house as his own. This is again a very symbolic. She doesn't need permission. He doesn't ask permission. And as I said in Savitri, there is a line, as a thief in the night shall be the covert tread of one who steps unseen into his own house. And all the galbal, they will break the pots and distribute everything. So the complaints mount. So Yashoda Maya, also because of the demons, so one, she says, what do I do? What is the solution? She says, okay, when I am working, because she has to work, I'll tie him. As simple as that. Because so that he remains where he has to. And what she does is, she ties him to a okhal, is the, what you would call it technically. It's like a, you know, damru shaped something in which you grind. Yeah. Mortar and pestle, grind. You grind things. So it's quite heavy, and she ties Krishna to that. And then she puts it around the tree so that there is sort of, it remains where it is. Though Shri Krishna apparently is a child and he cannot go away with that. And she goes about her work. Now the moment she goes about her work, usual work, Shri Krishna must move. He represents the forward march of mankind. He is not supposed to sit quietly and sit into meditation like Shiva and contemplate the bliss of identity. He is born to teach us the bliss of union, as we were discussing. So he starts moving, and he moves, and he goes past there two trees of Yamula, Arjun tree. Arjun tree is actually a name. So Arjun tree is around 20 meters. You'll see tall tree with little more foliage around it, and it does give fruits also, and it has a lot of medicinal properties. So anyways, the most important part is that he sees these two trees and he has to cross through that. Normally, rationally intelligent boy will not do that. He will go in a different way. But Shri Krishna is not rational, but supra-rational. So supra-rational means you will land up in the middle of difficulties and resolve it in most unexpected way. So one of the things that I often describe, that's rational people avoid difficulties. And the supra-rational transform difficulties into opportunities. That's what the divine does all the time. So anyways, he goes in between the two trees, and now that Oakley is stuck, mortar is stuck. So he pulls and he pulls and he pulls, and the trees come down with a crash. So then there is a story of the tree which is narrated to us, that wow, who were these trees? So these trees were celestial beings. And what celestial beings? The sons of the upholder of wealth. So we have in Indian tradition several layers at which wealth is seen. So the original wealth is wealth that belongs to Lakshmi ji or Mahalakshmi. So what is Kuber doing? Kuber is the treasurer. It belongs to her. So Kuber is the one who guards this wealth. There's a very interesting story as an aside. Once Dhyuman Bhai, because Ashram was going through financial difficulties, it's documented. So he was just praying that, you know, if money is needed, how it will come. And we read the other day, Mother said, money is needed and it will come. You don't have to ask. And there are people who would send it. And that time he had this vision of Kuber, who said, all the money is for the mother. You don't worry about it. When it is needed, it will come. So this Kuber, who is the guardian of wealth, he is not the owner of wealth. There is a distinction in Indian thought between the owner. Because in Mahalakshmi, it is with inner and outer. There is an inner wealth and the outer wealth. They should go together. But Kuber is the guardian of outer wealth. So we see that when there is an outer wealth, Ravan, his brother, he plunders Kuber's treasury. So Kuber's two sons, their names are very fascinating. So as I said, that lot of names you will see symbols. From the name you can understand the story. So the two sons are Nal Kuber and Manigriva. Strange name. Who would keep these names? Nal Kuber is okay. So Nal Kuber, Nal is it's any hollow structure. So Nal Kuber is somebody who is hollow but holds money. Now we understand what it means. There are people who believe that just because we are wearing a suit pant, just because we can speak good English, we are somebody special, or because I am owning a very big firm, I am, you know, rich, but they are hollow inside. So one of them is Nal Kuber. Those who are having rich, who are rich materially, but they are hollow. What about Manigriva? Strange name. So on his neck, he is wearing lot of Griva his neck and money. Lot of jewelry. He has filled himself with jewelry. So what is this kind of wealth? The wealth that people used to show off. They flaunt their wealth. Like people buy their car and, you know, put it, advertise it, or I have got a new, it may go to any extent from a new sari to whatever, new ornaments, new car, new house. So that's how Manigriva is. So what happens to them when they have wealth? And this is something which you can see happening today in the world. People are not yet seeing it fully. So people are fighting over money and fighting over, look what happened, what is happening in the USA with all the money. So one of the things I often tell people that, see, there is something you get in India which you don't get anywhere. Europe, US, and with all responsibility, people are nice. It's not that people are people, I mean everywhere. But it's in the atmosphere that you get. There is outer wealth, there is no doubt about it, and all that wealth can buy. But there is strangely, which is paradoxical, a depravity of inner wealth. Because, you know, ideally, if you have everything, you're rich, then according to Maslow's hypothesis, you should turn towards higher things and create lovely, beautiful spaces where you can sit inside and meditate. They are beautiful spaces, but they feel very empty. So what happens then? So these two people, that's what this story is about. And it's a direct understanding of, you know, people talk about communism, capitalism balancing each other. No, both are leading humanity towards the pit. So Nal Kuber and Manigriva, they are having money, and so they are enjoying life. So they are enjoying life in with women. They have a nice pool, bathing with all the outer riches, flaunting with everything, and that's how their life is being led. And when they are leading such a life, one day Narad Muni, right time, he is at the right place. He is passing by. So as he is passing by, the Nal Kuber doesn't even bother. He doesn't know that there is a rishi going. Now why? What happens if a rishi is going? In modern day we will say freedom. How does it matter? Be whatever yourself. But in India there is always a hierarchy of things. And that's why you see why is eating human meat not considered a good thing, whereas other kinds of meat, as I said, chicken is different, fish is different, four-legged creatures meet is different. Human is don't touch because of this hierarchy. So what this hierarchy is? This hierarchy is the degree of soul development. So when a person who is developed like Devarshi Narad and he is passing by, so what is happening is there is an atmosphere around him. So you have to respect that because it has its own meaning. So one of the things that Sri Aurobindo spoke about the modern age, they have reduced greatness, flattened everything, which is not a good thing. So this is, what does it matter? He is another Muni, he is another person with two eyes, one nose. So Narad Muni is going by. But he is a Rishi. And these two are enjoying in the water. And that is the time when Nalgrib remains quiet, but enjoying, he doesn't even notice. But Manigrib, when he sees Narad Muni, he starts flaunting. He is completely naked and he, you know, looks at him and sort of, I couldn't care. That time, Narad Muni curses the two. And that curse is very interesting, the way it is described. Narad Muni is hardly associated with curses. He is the person who sort of brings together. Very rarely you will see him cursing. So his curse is a very beautiful curse. He says, I see something to this effect, not exact memory, but that's where the whole catch is. He says, I see that you people are, your consciousness has become very dull and gross because of wealth. Because of so much of money, you don't know, you have become very gross, completely tied to, you know, earth, to its, you know, roots. Your roots are as if dug into the inconscient soil. Therefore, both of you, you belong to that kind of state. Become like trees. What is the, why trees? Because trees grow, there is a tendency to grow, but very slowly they are growing towards. And their roots are very deeply dug inside the earth. So basically it implies a state where you are largely dug inside. We remember the story of Gajraj, very similar story. And while they are aspiring, as Sri Aurobindo says, a tree beside the sandy river beach, holding its topmost boughs to the skies like fingers to the heaven they cannot reach. This is the soul of man, his body and brain, hungry for earth, his heavenly flight detained. This is the story of Nal Kuber. This is the story of Manigriva. This is the story of many who are mesmerized by the money and they fight over money and they... Anyway, so ultimately they are condemned, but Narad Muni is a bhakta. Bhakta's heart is like butter, soft like butter. So he understand that this is not going to be very painful, though a purifying pain. So he tells them, okay, one day you will be redeemed by no other than Sri Krishna, when the divine will come as an avatar. It's such a profound story, small story. See, one of the reasons that the avatar, that means the divine takes a human body, is there are many beings who are condemned like that. He redeems by merely taking a human body. Mother speaks about it. She speaks of the what is considered as called as the last judgment in Christianity. She says, because the divine takes a human body, there are many, because they are in the human body, therefore they have many tendencies, many things, and you know, if they have to realize the divine, they have to do a lot of tapasya. They are literally like a tree caught in the mesh of lower nature. Since the divine enters the mesh of lower nature, all that is required, these are mother's words, all that is required is faith. She says, if they have aspiration, of course, wonderful. But even if they don't aspire, just because they have faith that the divine has assumed a material body, it's enough. This is so wonderful. Because he has come, enters into the darkest net. So he says that when the divine comes upon earth and becomes comes as Krishna, then you both will be freed. So it is, as in the story of Ahilya we have seen, this is like now a different kind of sadhana. In fact, he tells them something very interesting. You will remember all this that is happening. It is a double curse because they have not forgotten. But at the same time, there is in it a saving grace. So there are people, I know of such people, who take a human body, who are completely drenched into material life, but something is there in them, constantly feeling unhappy about that state, as if they are seeking something. This is Nal Kuber and Manigriva. If they forget, then they forget. Then they have to go through a long process. So they are in a body of plant or tree, jal, that's how it is called, almost like a jadvat, but they are remembering. Same thing we see in the story of Jadbharat. He remembers inwardly. So the same in Gajaraj, you remember inwardly. So this remembrance inwardly is that they begin to feel restless. They are seeking something. They don't know what they are seeking. So both the trees are remembering inwardly, waiting for a day when they'll be redeemed. They don't know how, what. And that's when Shri Krishna crosses. And as Shri Krishna crosses, the trees fall with a thunder. And out of the trees emerge the two celestial beings, Nal Kubir and Manikriva. So they do naman to Shri Krishna. They are released. See, this is the beauty of the divine advent. There are yogis, gurus who teach us a way and a path. And we have to practice it. But divine, just by the fact of faith and aspiration, and all the divine advent say this. Look what Christ has said, which people, you know, they turn it into a religion, it's a different thing. But he said, I am the way. What does Sri Krishna say? I am the way. What does Sri Aurobindo say? Mother is the way. They're not speaking three different things. They are all avatars. She is the way. If you turn to the mother, it is the way. Sounds too easy and simple. It is that easy and simple, actually. If you go through the journey, you understand. Because she has taken a physical body, all our difficulties, material, because of taking a material body, gets automatically transferred to her. And this is, ancient yogis understood this even in Christianity. Later it became a religion. So you have things like imitation of Christ, or what is it called? Those things, no, the marks appearing on the body, I am forgetting, which are basically referring to the same thing. That if you take to the avatar with faith, that will carry you. It should be a true faith. So Sri Aurobindo speaks so much about faith. And if you have aspiration and surrender, it's lovely. That's why when mother was asked, what do you expect from us? She said, nothing. See, the saints remain here. Or here, somewhere up. They don't enter into the pit. This is known in all path of the saints. They will not enter into there. What will they tell the disciple? You practice the meditation, what I have given you, and then you will come to a point. What does the avatar do? Avatar enters into the pit. So I often compare it like this, that imagine you have fallen in a well, and the well is full of snakes. God knows what not. In a pit, and now there is a person, expert out there. He says, do this way you do, you come up, okay, can you see there is a little dent, because he can see better. You try this. Maybe he stretches a little hand from above to jump and catch it. Now imagine this scenario, and imagine where the expert lands up, jumps inside the pit. Just imagine that even for a moment. And he says, okay, come, climb up on my shoulders. I'll do the rest. This is the difference. So in the story we see the Uddhar, as it is called, of Nal Kubir and Manigriva takes place this way. And both of them are released. But the story doesn't end there. Because as always, when Shri Krishna kills Putana and Trinavrat and all this, now these two trees have suddenly fallen with a crash. So there are two camps. One is the Gwalbal, the Gop and Gopis. They say it is Krishna who has done it. But Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya and all of them say, no, Krishna can't do this. He is too small. This is not just an ordinary description. It's a description of how there are two ways of looking at the same thing. Gwalbal are Gop and Gopi, who are Krishna's friends in the higher worlds. Many of them took human birth. So they understand the Leela. Nothing is impossible for the divine. They are endowed with faith. They instantly understand. But Nand, Yashoda, Maiya, all of them are, of course, at some level celestial being. But they all still have the old consciousness. So they wonder, how can he do this? This is not possible for a boy to do. But ultimately, one thing they realize, that, well, this place is too dangerous to live. So what do? They come together, discuss, and they say, let's go from Gokul to Vrindavan. So this is where, you see, we hear the story. Sri Aurobindo speaks of four great events. And in that, Sri Krishna's exile to Vrindavan. He is coming closer to his destiny. So he is born in Gokul. From Gokul, he goes to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, as soon as he goes, because they feel ki he is being, you know, some bad omen, some bad spirit, so better, you know, you let's all go. But Sri Krishna is calling them to bring them near, and he led them. So as soon as he goes to Vrindavan, two demons chase him. One of them is, and this is interesting, these are not just fascinating stories. So these two we'll quickly see. One of them, the demon, becomes a calf. A very beautiful, very profound story. So he becomes a calf and enters with the cows. So Sri Krishna points to Balram. Hey, look, you know? He says, yes, I know. You will do it or I'll do it? Sri Krishna says, I'll do it. He catches the calf with the hind leg and throws it far away, and the demon dies with a crash. What is this story? Very interesting. We have heard about wolf in sheep's clothing. You can't escape the eye of the divine. Now we understand the deeper sense of Sagar Manthan story. Rahu Ketu sitting on the side of the devta. If you are not an adhikari, you try to feign, you will not be able to continue. There are people who go away even from the ashram, they go away from the yoga, they turn away. This is the real sense. If your consciousness is not ready, if it is dark, if it is full of these things, you may join a group, doesn't matter. But if you are unable to really surrender, if you are unable to have faith, chance is given to everyone. That's what we read last time. Mother says, because someone asked why this person went away, she says a chance is given. So you are given a chance. If you can take it, you take it. If you don't take it, you will end up leaving because you are not ready for this. So this is the story of the calf. The asura becomes the calf. I don't know what is his name. I have forgotten. And then the other one comes like a bird. Bird is a very... Devika? Renukasur. Dhenukasur. Yeah. Thank you. Dhenukasur becomes a cow. Cow is supposed to be... And in the figuratively, cow is a symbol of light. So that person may even behave as if he is himself a kind of, you know, guru or whatever. Yes, because he'll come like almost like I am a guru. You don't need that's. But at the calf level, he's detected. He's not allowed to. So cow is representative of light. He went do miracles. There have been people who came here and tried to do that. I'll not take the names, and eventually they were out away. And then comes the second asura. He is like a bird. Nice bird. That bird is Bakasur. So the bird is lying, it looks like nothing. And what does it do of all the things? Swallows Krishna. Krishna goes near the beak, swallows Krishna. So what happens when you try that? Again, this is very figurative. You try to, okay, I'm going to, you read life divine, this, that. You cannot swallow the divine. But what happens? There is so much heat generated that he vomits out because he cannot. And then that mouth, Sri Krishna opens and tears it and throws it away. Again, a very symbolic story. There are people who believe they can read, digest and vomit. There are a number of stories I know, real stories. Story of a person who wanted to give talks on Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And he asked the mother. Mother said, not granted. She sent a telegram. It didn't reach. So finally he said, no, I am Sri Krishna's being appeared to him, not Sri Krishna, but he saw a silver-like Krishna before him who told him, you give talks. He said, I have sanction of Krishna, I don't need to wait for mother's sanction. And he started giving talks, completely lost the way, totally, and ultimately lot of difficulties and pain and struggle he went through, but that's a different story altogether. So there is, one has should be very careful. Don't imitate. If you are meant for something, divine will give you the sanction. Don't do anything. And you should be very sure of the sanction given by the divine. So there is the Bakasur, because he is doing, this might take not in the Bhagavad, he is doing Bak-Bak. So the divine opens the mouth and completely destroys him. And that's the end of Bakasur. So these two Asuras die. And then Sri Krishna's pastimes start in Vrindavan. We'll talk about it next time. Jai Ma.